Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Let's go to Ed in Phoenixville right now. Ed, good morning.
Good morning, team. Good morning, Ben Davis, graduate of the Real Prep.
Oh, man.
We never call it the Prep. We call it Malvern Prep.
We know that.
I know.
Yeah,
we all know. He was just taking a shot at teaching.
Yeah, but, yeah, no, yeah that's, but that's cool.
But what Ben was trying to do was make some kind of poignant, funny,
no,
you know, Confucius-level wisdom.
Say, I went through the Real Prep. That's fine. Like, you call it the Prep. I call it the Prep. I call where I went Malvern Prep, and that's what we call it. Yeah. Malvern Prep.
We call it the Lesser Prep.
Yeah.
See that? See what I just did right there, Ben?
Mm. Yeah.
Two prep guys arguing with each other. I love it.
All right, Ed. Now that you've caused trouble, go ahead.
Yeah, you're welcome. It really kind of feels like a helpless situation. You know, I've called criticizing Kevin Long before. But, you know, the situation we have right now is, what the heck is he supposed to do with that, you know, situation at the bottom of the lineup? I mean, he could, you know, give him all the expert coaching in the world, but Johan Rojas is just the, you know, million-dollar body, two-cent head. Like, I just don't think it would resonate. And I think, I think the irony of Rangers' performance last night is his trade value now is much higher. Which, you know, he may be the only piece that we could get an actually decent hitter. I just wonder what you thought about that.
Well, they could clearly trade him for an outfielder, man. I mean, they could. I mean, there's no doubt.
I don't want to do that.
I don't either.
Oh, I can't do that. You know that? I can't let Ranger go. He continues to add so much worth and value to...
He's my game two starter as of now, man. He's my game two starter.
See, I don't know if I'm ready to go there. He's definitely three for me, and I'm Sanchez, man. But I love both. And what about the fact that this guy, if need be, can go get you saves with the best of them?
Because
we've seen him do it.
What is your certainty that they sign him back to it? He's going to want a 5-year deal for probably, I don't know, I'm going to say... $125 million.
I agree with you, Ben. And I feel like he has earned that
here. He has.
And I hope that they figure out a way to make that happen.
So, Ben, it probably won't happen, but the more I watch it, the more I say, I got to try to maybe find a way.
Yeah, I would love to sign Ranger back. I love the guy.
Oh, my gosh. Why can't we figure out a way?
Look, there's all sorts of stuff. I'll be the first person to just say this. I'm not saying I'm advocating it. I'm just saying it's a choice. You could trade Andrew Painter for an exceptional outfielder. You could. You could.
Yeah, you could.
I'm just not ready to do that.
But is it a 1-year lease? Is the guy going to be under contract?
Well, no, you would only trade Painter for a guy that's going to be here for years. Like, you know, it would have to be.
Whether also, with the Ranger thing, Scott Boras is his agent. Like, we don't know that Ranger would come back here. You know what I mean? Like, he might get more money somewhere else.
That's a great point, James.
It's a real what if.
That's a great point.
I agree.
That's a great point.
It's a hell of a conundrum.
But if you know in your heart of hearts that you're not going to sign this guy back, then trade him.
Yeah, but I'm also trying to win a World Series.
But you're also trying to win a World Series, and I mean, this guy's on fire right now.
Like Milton Williams and Josh Sweat helped the Eagles win the Super Bowl. They didn't trade them just because they were coming down the stretch of their contract.
Different sport, though. You don't do that in football.
I understand, but I'm just saying it.
Non-guaranteed contracts. It's just a different equation.
I know it is.
And that zero pulse plays in the playoffs, especially in baseball.
Yeah.
It plays, man.
And he's got one of the lowest ERAs in the history of postseason baseball. I think he's bottom three or four, or top three or four of all time. Incredible.
His give a you-know-what factor is at zero.
And his defense last night was...
Wow. That was beautiful. I mean, ridiculous. Two of them just grabbed him right out of the air.
And then it was a shock when he missed the third one.
I know.
Wait
a minute. Wait a tick.
Well, Ed, we'll see. It's a heck of a conundrum on Ranger. Ed, give me a great answer for a real spot in the world that's got a great scene in a movie that's based on that spot.
How about Dearborn Avenue in Chicago, where they filmed the parade scene in Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty interesting because it is a great scene. I mean, it works for me as a winning answer, potentially. I mean, it's a great scene, and it's in Chicago. Great song. Seltzer goes classy here. Why, James? What's
great
the
great song? No, yeah, just great song. Saw it on the list of songs I got. I was like, let's go for it. Lil Marvin.
So you know what I heard in the grapevine last night in the research and the internet? Philadelphia Sports hasn't done too well with the third overall pick.
Uh-oh.
I went into the lab. Wait till this bathtub time machine. Because I am starting to get excited, but got to get it right. So we'll see. We'll go inside the history of the third overall pick. One of whom played in Philadelphia Sports last night. Who would that be?
Played him. Oh, Alec Bohm.
Alec Bohm. Third overall pick a few years ago by the Bohm.
Al Bohm.
That's true. Never thought of that. Al Bohm.
There's a lot of guys. You know, like we just need to revolutionize the way we address people.
I agree. Mike Fox.
Joey DeCamera.
Well, yeah, I've been called Joey or Joey D. I haven't gotten the Joey D. Yeah, I got Joey D a lot growing up.
Did you?
Yeah,
Joey D. I got a lot of Johnny because I was, you know, my dad's name's John, so they had
And you're not a Jonathan, right? You are just John, J-O-N.
Yeah, just J-O-N.
Because normally J-O-N is short for Jonathan, you'll see.
It is, but it wasn't for my dad. It wasn't for my mom's brother. His name was John, J-O-N, John, no Jonathan either, which is kind of weird.
It is weird. It's a little weird, yeah.
Yeah, you're spelling the name wrong, but that's all right.
Sort of.
So,
not John.
Speaking of dads, let's talk about Dad Ben Davis.
Oh, yeah.
Benny Davis.
So
Benjamin Davis.
So, Ben, we have a long stand. You know how happy we were for your son, you, your wife, your family. You know, Tag playing in the College World Series, got to the Final Four. All good stuff. What also is a reality when it comes to the College World Series and your son was the fact that we have a longstanding tradition on this show that when someone cries related to our program, when someone cries, that audio makes the air. I mean, whether it's nice or not, it just does. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go back about 2 weeks ago. Ben Davis, national interview. I think this was the NCAA.com. Let's listen to our guy, Ben Davis.
What are you thinking and your emotions watching him at the College World Series?
It's just cool to see him on this, you know, in this venue and on the field and just everything he's worked for. To see him out here is pretty neat. It's just one of those things that it's just, you know, he worked so hard to get here.
All right. No, Ben, it wasn't Niagara Falls.
No,
but I
man,
mean,
you did an
awesome job of keeping it together.
I did hold it together.
He held it together strong. Typically you were right on the verge the whole time.
I'm typically not good at it. I mean,
awesome job.
Yeah, thank you. Man. It was not easy.
I respect that so much because I sucked at mine so
this
bad.
This is really.
Yeah, man. You kept it. Just you teed it.
I was able to. I was pulling on the hairs on my forearm.
Seriously,
I was like trying not to just open it up the waterworks. But no, it was not easy. I don't know what it is. When I talk about my kids, man, I just lose it.
That's what it is. It's talking about your kids.
It's just one of those things, man. It's just because I'm so freaking proud of them.
I know.
You know? And I don't let them know all the time because half the time they piss me off. But but I am so proud of them.
I am. That's one of those things. I mean, this is one of those big pride moments. I can't even imagine. Your son is leading his team to a potential, you know, College World Series.
Wait till he's in the big leagues, Ben, which he probably will be, right?
I hope so. We'll see. He's got a long way to go.
Sure.
He's got a long way
but
to go.
But he's got like a legitimate chance,
stuff
right?
He's accomplishing.
Yes. I would say he's got a good chance.
That's great, man. All right, well, hopefully he can replace Johan Rojas, but hopefully we don't have to wait 2 years. 2 years for that.
Cause... Yeah, have you been grooming him like that? That's perfect.
Yeah. All right. So I want to play the audio of the Rojas at bat and the way it ended last night, or at least the 2-0 count, what happened at that moment. So just to set the scene, if anyone doesn't know the way the Phils game went last night, both pitchers were great, starting pitchers. Ranger finally gives up a run in the eighth. So the Phils are down 1-0, top of the ninth. They got a guy on, they got two outs, and they got Rojas up. Now, I think it should have been a pinch hit scenario, but Topper sticks with Rojas. You don't have great lefty options because it's lefty on Hader. But Rojas has got to know a 2-0 to take a strike. He doesn't. He swings. He fouls it off. Two pitches later, the game's over. Listen, though, well done by Tom McCarthy and Rubin, the way they laid it out when the count was 2-0.
2-0.
I would really like to see Johan take a pitch here to give put a little heat on Hader to throw strikes, especially with Trey Turner hitting next.
Nope. That was ball three. You got to take a pitch there. I know you're not going to always get a fastball, but you're down one. You're in the top of the ninth inning. You're the number nine hitter. This guy's got three hits, two extra base hits against Hader.
Totally agree with you.
Well done by those guys.
You know what was great, Joe?
Yeah.
The Nope by T.
He said
everything Rhea. He needed. Nope.
I thought the same thing. I thought it was with kind of like disgust.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So let's get to our Twitter poll question. I want to get everyone on the record so you can weigh in. It was a disastrous sequence. And then two pitches later, he feebly ends the game with a strikeout, I believe, right?
Last three, yep.
All right, let's get to the Twitter poll question, which is brought to us by Armin Chevrolet, and get everybody on the record. Let your journey begin in the completely redesigned 2025 Equinox. From Armin Chevrolet, together let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. Our question is, Rhea, let's go to you first here. So James and I are already on the record. Let's get the other four on the record. The question is, what bothered you the most last night with Rojas's final at-bat to end the Phillies game? Four choices. Rhea, which is it? A, Dombrowski's bench stinks, meaning Topper doesn't have many good options to go to, and this is what it is. B, that Topper chose not to pinch hit Rojas.
You are the manager in that situation. Yep. Dombrowski has already given you what he's given you.
Stott or Kepler, right?
Yeah. I mean, either one. You have to, you are not getting anything with him.
All right. So Rhea's a B. James was an A, which is Dombrowski's bench stinks. Now, Ben, let's get to you. The four choices are Dombrowski's bench stinks, Topper not pinch hitting Rojas. Choice C is Rojas swings 2-0. Choice D, and this is what I went with, the Topper lets Rojas swing 2-0. Which would you say, Ben?
I would say C, that he swings 2-0.
Players got to know.
You got to have some type of baseball acumen, some type of IQ that says, you know what?
He doesn't.
Probably this isn't the best idea.
You know, this is one of those unique polls where all four choices are really legitimately strong.
No, I would agree.
But... All right, so Devin, what about you? Which of the four?
I have to go with Dombrowski. It's bench stinks. Like, you can't really blame... I mean, you can blame Rojas, but... For me, like, yeah, you can question the decisions by Rob Thompson, but it's not like he has a ton to work with here. And you're rolling out a lineup that almost doesn't look like a major league lineup when you have, you know, Buddy Kennedy, Johan Rojas, Otto Kemp. Like, you're down Bryce Harper. So I blame Dombrowski.
Okay. John, which would you go with?
I am...
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
B, you need to give the team a chance with the right player. Johan Rojas has proven time and time again he's incapable of just getting it done in that situation.
He can't be on the team in
October. All four choices were chosen by
Which is rare. It's rare that we're all kind of...
Yeah, we'll
see. Bryson Stott can win you that game in that situation. Kepler, I really like Kepler too, and... just never got an opportunity.
Yeah, and then the Topper, let's listen one more time. I know Rhea had it in the update about 15 minutes ago, but let's listen to Rob Thompson after the game. I know he's trying to stick up for his player, but I did not like two different issues here, two different answers. I didn't like them.
Rojas gets up 2-0 on the count against Hader there. Would you like to see him take a pitch? You know, especially since that one got out of the zone.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it was a strike, so you might as well waffle on it. You're not going to get too many good pitches to hit.
And I know it's left on left, but lefties have actually got Gator a little bit this year. Like, do you consider at all shifting a lefty there?
Come on, man. Come on. I don't need
might
that.
Might as well waffle at it.
Might as
well
waffle.
Yeah, the waffle is like, that kind of shows how you feel.
I don't want anyone waffling at it. Like, that's not winning games, is it? Waffling at it?
It's a bad sequence of answers. I know he's trying to stick up for his guy, but come on. Let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Other Twitter poll question is, who do you think is more likely to be traded if the Sixers pick a guard? Would Maxey get traded or McCain? I think it's all on the table. Devin did bring up an interesting point earlier. The East is wide open. Maybe there's some people that want to go through that door, which is let's chase the title, which is more appealing with Tatum out, Porzingis traded, Drew Holiday out, Halliburton out. I mean, the Knicks
Dame
don't
out.
Yeah, Knicks don't even have a coach.
Yeah, that's true. They still don't have a head coach.
So, you know, like it would be an amazing opportunity if Embiid was healthy. I just don't think I can trust it. But do you want a player? Do you want a pick? What do you want? 215, you know, draft, you know, do you want a veteran that they trade for? There are options. 215-592-9494. Also, we'll get to the history in Philadelphia sports with the third overall pick. We'll get to that shortly. Gino in Northeast Philly right now. What's going on, Gino?
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing well, Gino.
Oh, my God. First off, I wanted to start off by saying I had to turn the radio off with that Fritz thing with Harper yesterday. I mean, every day at some point I have to turn that show off.
Come on, Gino. Now you took it far. I'm having a little fun, and now you say you got to turn the show off.
Because, Joe, he tries to divide fan bases, Joe. Joe, yesterday, I don't know, I forget what they were even talking about, but he's like, oh, Eagles fans sticking their chest out against Phillies and Sixers fans. Aren't we supposed to be fans of all the
we
teams?
We are fans of all of them. Listen, Gino, all jokes aside, I mean this. If you have a legitimate gripe with it, take it to them. I don't want to.
No, I know.
I'm really just playing around here, and I love their show.
They do a great job. I know.
Okay.
I know. I know. And they do it. I love Mike. Okay. He's the best.
Okay.
So, but anyway, the reason I called was about the Sixers draft. I'm really down on the Sixers, but I got to say, I don't even think Harper is a surefire guy. I mean, Rutgers had two guys that were legitimate, you know, five-star guys coming out of high school, and they couldn't even make the NCAA tournament.
I know.
So, reminds me of the
Ben Simmons thing a little bit. Remember freshman year, Ben at LSU didn't make the tournament.
And wouldn't go to the NIT.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't know if you brought this up, guys, but for the draft, but who thought that it was a good idea to make the NBA draft two nights?
A dumb commissioner.
You're like, not the NFL.
Not the NFL. Like, the second round, there's maybe 3-4 guys that contribute every year from the second round of the NBA draft. I don't understand it at all.
It's a bad decision. Trying to be something that they're not. It's like Rojas swinging. You're trying to be something you're not.
And I agree with you. I think all four of your answers with the Phillies could be viable answers, blame Dombrowski, whatever.
Yep.
But the bottom line of it all is Rojas cannot be on this team in the postseason.
I totally agree. I agree with you 1,000,000%.
He just can't.
All right, Gino, give me a great scene where the location is central to the scene.
Okay, so I'm assuming like Rocky was set?
Rocky steps were said, yes.
Okay, how about when he's running through the Italian market?
Yep. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's that's on the way.
Yeah.
That's on the way at the second time in Rocky One.
Yeah, it's second time in Rocky One, but it runs like 600 miles. It seems like
Have you actually ever been to the Italian market, Joe?
I'm sorry, say again.
Have you actually ever been to the Italian market?
Yeah, but I probably have just driven through. I don't know if I've ever walked through it.
What?
I don't expect
you've never
you
gone
as
any
a
of the
foodie.
Restaurants there, like so. Any of the classic Italian places.
I don't think so.
Oh my god. Dude, you're missing out. It's awesome.
Missing out.
You do love
lot.
Italian food, right?
Sure.
Yeah, like fresh pasta, cheese, all the sores of all stuff.
It's old school.
Yeah, I like the saloon. I'm a big saloon guy.
I thought we went to Ralph's.
Oh, Ralph's. I love Ralph's.
We went to Ralph's.
Yeah, I went to Ralph's like 2 weeks ago.
And I went to Ralph's.
My voice just cracked.
We were a midday show like 8 years ago.
Yeah, I remember that. That was great. Yeah. That's a great place.
James,
man.
You got to remember that he prefers takeout from strip clubs.
That's true. It's a good point. Yeah.
My bad.
Yeah. I mean, why would he go to the Italian market?
Does Ralph's have the same clams of pasta clams or whatever you got?
By the way, bringing it back to Rock for a moment, when that guy flips him the whatever it was, fruit or whatever, in Rocky One, that was unplanned.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, that guy did not know who Stallone was, whether the movie was being filmed, nothing. He just flipped him that thing, and Stallone liked the video. He caught it. liked the visual of it. It's like, all right, let's put it in the movie. But yeah, that was an unplanned thing.
There's a few of those stories. Like the Dustin Hoffman, I'm walking here in Midnight Cowboy. That was apparently the cab just got into the scene and he just freelanced and went. It's like the most one of the most famous scenes ever, you know?
It's great. All right, options for the Sixers tonight. Obviously, they've got a couple. Let's listen to Kevin O'Connor. He was on with Spike Eichen and Jack. I believe this was about a week ago. So a lot of people right out of the gate wanted Ace Bailey. It sounds like they're probably less likely to take him. I mean, it sounds like Edgecombe's more the guy. But Kevin O'Connor, it's pretty clear, does not want Ace Bailey to become a Sixer. Let's listen to what he said.
When I think about Ace Bailey, yes, there's star upside. Yes, it's going to take you a while to get there, though. And it reminds me of the Golden State Warriors choice when they took Jonathan Kuminga. Kuminga is the type of guy who wants to be a star, who practices star things, but not necessarily a guy who's doing role player things with upside for more, which is what Philadelphia needs from this pick. So yes, I understand take the highest upside player, but Ace Bailey's no guarantee to become that. He is a risk in the short term and in the long term, which is why I believe you're seeing so much trade talk around this pick and why I think Philadelphia should. And ultimately, we'll see if they end up do actually trading up, down, or out of this draft pick.
So part of what's interesting about all this is it felt for a while like it was going to be Bailey. Then it felt like it could be either way. Now we've got Shams. Let's get to Shams yesterday on ESPN. So it's interesting the way he frames the Bailey thing, particularly at the end. It almost sounds like now if they draft Bailey, it's a surprise. Listen to Sean.
The likelihood, probably you keep that pick at three. You know, you draft BJ Edgecombe, a Ace Bailey. So we'll see what they do at three. And then depending on who falls, I think four or five is just waiting to see which dominoes fall. Does Philly surprise everyone, take Ace Bailey? And then that kind of will shake up the draft. So I think there's a lot of unanswered questions right now.
Does Philly surprise everyone and take Ace Bailey? Like, the league's not even expecting it now.
What are the chances? What do you think the chance is?
So my gut feeling is that Daryl Morey will be completely unmoved in a negative way that Ace Bailey didn't show up for a workout. And if he thinks he's the best player, we'll take him. As I think he should, actually. I mean, let me put it this way. Ace Bailey didn't even snub his nose and everything at the Sixers. He snubbed his nose at everybody.
Yeah.
He show up for anybody. And the one
he's
thing,
the only U.S. player who hasn't worked out for any teams.
Which is outrageous. Oh, by the way, let's listen to Paul George. He talked about this. This was interesting yesterday as well. Here's Paul George on the on his podcast, and you can tell he's blaming the people around Ace Bailey. Listen to Paul George.
I think they made a big deal because we were scheduled to work him out, and he canceled the day up. But he hasn't worked out for any team. But, like you're not in a position to be making those demands. You know what I mean? Like,
not
make
even
it to
there
the league
yet.
First,
yeah, you're
know
not
what
even
mean?
There yet.
Or the people around him.
It's for sure the people.
Of course, the people.
For sure the people around him. I think he's
mama and daddy's playing manager.
I don't know who's representing him. I don't know who's representing him. But you know, if I don't think they're going about it the right way. You know, I don't think they're going about it the right way.
None of us are happy with it, right? Let's be real. Ben, it's certainly not the way, you know, the ethos of the way you go about life.
No, you got to be accountable and you got to, But if
he's the best player, I'm taking him. Ben, do you know that Charles Barkley intentionally ate as much as he could before he met with the Sixers so he would look huge so they wouldn't take him? Do you know that? That's a true story. You remember that, right, Ray?
Yep.
These
guys have been trying to do this forever.
Yeah.
It doesn't make him a bad guy. It makes him, I don't understand an agent who would tell him, try to fall down a couple spaces and cost yourself about $15
million. Millions of dollars.
They're saying 10 to 15 million.
It's insanity.
Three to down like 6, 7, 8. They're saying it could be 10 to 15 million.
I mean, I don't get that. He's 18 years old. From, like I said, everything I've read about him from people who covered him on a daily basis, they love the kid. They think the kid's a terrific kid.
Well,
he's just 18 years old and I think has a terrible agent.
That's just bad life advice.
Sure.
Just you
make an appointment, you keep
it.
Yeah.
That is not the best thing, not best option for his client.
But I will say sometimes guys have maneuvered and it's benefited them. Eli Manning, he was still the number one pick, but he did not want to play for the Chargers. He got to New York.
Yeah. And it's also a great story by Charles. Who who liked to eat anyway.
Yes, he did. Yes, yes, he did. And then Moses Malone said, all right, enough of that.
Oh, yeah, Moses.
You got a shot to be exceptional, so let's make sure we get in some shape here.
He was the best.
Moses was amazing. God. All right, so we're going to get to the third overall pick in Philadelphia sports history in a moment. Let's go to Mike in Tacony right now. Mike, good morning, pal.
Hey, good morning, team. How you doing?
Doing well, Mike.
I kind of want to talk Sixers, and I know this may sound a little crazy, but what do we think is Joel Embiid's trade value tonight?
Well,
it's an interesting question that we haven't mentioned.
It is, yeah.
Because I look at OKC, I look at Indiana, and I'm like, the big three thing doesn't have to be a thing, right?
Well, yeah, no, listen, you're right. I mean, I'm stumbling and mumbling here on your first question because the candid answer, Mike, is I don't know what his trade value is. In part, because I don't know whether he's healthy or not.
Does anyone actually believe that he is healthy, that he will be healthy, that he can maintain healthiness and sustain that for a postseason next year? Will another team trade him, assuming that?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Mike, the type of team that would want him would be the type of team that feels like they're near a title, like the Knicks.
Lakers or the
like, so now some of those teams already don't have their picks. Like, take the Knicks. They traded all those picks for Bridges. So I assume they don't have picks to give the Sixers. But like, and then of course there's salary cap implications as well. You got to, in many cases, take money back. I would just tell you, I can't imagine his value is very high. I just can't.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Okay. I mean, it's just something that I've been kind of playing around with, especially since watching the finals and everything. I'm like, we don't know how healthy he is, and maybe there's a team out there who's willing to take a gamble and give us a couple of young prospects or something, you know? I don't know. It was just something I was kind of playing around with.
No, it's a good thought. I mean, you got to consider it now. Could the Sixers get, for instance, T.J. McConnell for Joel Embiid?
He's 1 year removed.
Can you imagine?
MVP, guys, think about that.
Right.
Right? I mean, 1 year ago, was the MVP.
Well, this was Rhea's point. It was 2 years ago. Yeah, but Rhea's point 2 years ago and last year was trade him now while the value's high. I mean, you made that very clear. You couldn't have been more clear about it.
It's just there was never any chance he was going to be able to stay healthy, not just for a season, for the playoffs. His body is just not built that way, unfortunately.
It's really crazy. Mike, give me a big answer for a great scene that's got a location that's central to the scene.
Okay, if you guys seen the movie In Bruges,
yes,
it is the scene towards the end of the movie when Ralph Fiennes comes and he's looking for Colin, and it's just in the center of Bruges, the city of Bruges.
All right, you got
it's
it,
a great
Mike.
Movie.
Is it a good answer, James?
Yeah, it's a good answer.
All right, fair enough. You know, to me, the best answer so far: Chicago with Ferris Bueller. With the, you know, the parade scene, Rocky One, the steps, the second time he gets there, the Statue of Liberty and the Planet of the Apes.
Wait, which steps was it? I'm just wasn't sure. I want to make sure.
Yeah, there you have to be specific.
Well, I mean, the guy says the Rocky steps. I mean, it's pretty cool. Look, it was cool when he's up there with his kid at the end of Five. It's a good scene. Remember that?
You're bringing
when
Five into the
equation
here. When
someone says the Rocky
here.
Steps, I don't think they're like, by the way, I'm talking about Rocky Five.
Well, I don't either. But no, I thought Two was
no
possible.
No one, when talking about anything with Rocky, is talking about Rocky Five.
Well, that's true. All right.
I might talk about that takedown out in the street where he spins around like a top. It really was an awesome
amazing
takedown.
Scene.
Super cool.
It was.
Rocky Six has the speech. It's not how hard you can get hit. That's from Rocky Balboa, which is
that's not at the steps. That's
no,
outside
no, no, no.
Restaurant.
I'm just saying it's from.
That's what Kelsey quoted after the Eagles won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
All right. Haven't done a bathtub time machine since the Eagles season. I thought with the third overall pick, let me look in the history of Philadelphia sports having the third pick. Ladies and gentlemen, let's take a little dip together inside the bathtub time machine.
It's time to go back. in the tub with the hammer. Joe DiCamera's Bathtub Time Machine.
All righty. Third overall pick. Robert Donkey. Ben, have you been here for a Bathtub Time Machine?
I have, yes. Okay.
So, I was hoping last night when I went in the Bathtub Time Machine prep process that I'd find all these great third overall picks in Philly drafts. And I got to be honest, there's some good picks, but it's a lot more bad than good. And I'm starting to get excited for the Sixers having this pick tonight. But then I looked at the history. I thought, what are the chances they actually pick the player that will turn into having the best career? Ladies and gentlemen, it has happened 12 times in the history of Philadelphia sports that one of our teams has held the third pick. The Phillies, the Eagles, and the Sixers. Flyers never have had it. Bathtub Time Machine, let's start with the Phillies. All right. Phillies have had the third pick four times. Most notably, recently, current Phil, third overall pick, Alec Bohm. Very solid player. But, 7 years from when he was picked third overall. Because I looked this up last night. Best player from the draft when Bohm went. Skubal, Tigers Cy Young Award winning pitcher, went nine rounds later.
I don't think you can rip them for not taking Tariq Skubal in the first eight rounds.
Here's what I can say. Did the Phillies get the best player available? They did not.
I would guess the number three pick in the MLB draft maybe has never been the best player available.
So here's the thing. What you're going to see in a lot of these, in a lot of cases, pretty good player acquired, but not the player that turned out to have the best career, which is, you know, what I certainly want the Sixers to get. Go to 1990, Phillies, third pick. Catcher Mike Lieberthal, very solid Phil for a long time, no doubt about it. Member of the Phil's Wall of Fame. Best player from that draft, third pick on, because everything I'm defining here is third pick on. Mike Mussina, they didn't get him. Go to 1974, Lonnie Smith, member of the 1980 Phillies World Series winning team. Best player, who did it ultimately become? Ben, this is a miss. Dale Murphy.
Whoa.
Yeah. Mm. How about Larry? I love Larry Christensen, right? LC. 72. Larry Christensen, classic Phil. Who turned into the best player from that draft? Gary Carter. Not so good so far. Again, all due respect to LC. Outstanding career, and again, a member of the 80 winning Phillies team. All right, so that's the Phils. Let's go to the Eagles. We make the transition of football. Third overall pick. Now there's this guy, Pete. I don't even know how to say his last name, from 1942. No one knows anything about him.
Wow, disrespect.
But I did look it up, and the Google thing says he was not the best player available.
Who was?
I didn't even write it down, but somebody else. All right, let's go to 1969. Leroy Keyes. Of course, O.J. famously goes first. Eagles and Bills both had a 12-2 record, but the Bills get the number one pick. They take O.J., Eagles with the third pick, Leroy Keyes. Turns out he was not the best player. Some guy named George Kuntz. I don't know him, but apparently he made a bunch of All-Pros. 73. This is one of the best picks that have happened. Jerry Sizemore, who was a great Eagle. Member of the 80 team. But the next pick was John Hanna, who some people say is the greatest offensive lineman of all time. Yeah. Now, again, all due respect to Sizemore, who was fantastic. And a member of the Philadelphia Sports Hall of Fame and the Eagles, you know, Wall of Fame or Hall of Fame, whatever they call it. But Hanna did go next. Dan Fouchon was later in that draft as well.
Wow.
They certainly could have
not
used
too shabby.
Could have used him. He went in the third round. Oh, all right, let's go.
Fouts was a third rounder. Yeah. I didn't know that.
All right, let's go to hoops. Because this is where, you know, that's where we are tonight. I mean, one of them's gotta get the right pick, right? So let's build up to it. Let's go to the first time the Sixers had the third pick. We're going back to 1988. Sixers drafted a player but traded him that night. They drafted Charles Smith. This is the guy that became the Knicks Charles Smith, Pitt Panther Charles Smith. They traded him that night, James, for who?
Oh, man. I'm blanking
Rhea,
right now.
You got it?
We always mispronounce his name.
That's right, Rhea. Name him.
Percy Hawk.
Absolutely correct. So we love Hawk. He's a quality player, good Sixer. But Mitch Richmond and Tim Hardaway were better. All right? They were better. Let's go to 1995.
I thought this was going to be a freaking superstar. I was so excited to get this guy.
So was I. He played for 30,000 years in pro basketball. But Jerry Stackhouse never really delivered the way we perceived. And who went two picks later?
Was it Sheed?
Nope.
Or she went earlier, maybe?
This guy went early, but not early enough because he was the first 18-year-old since what? Like Moses to
Garnett,
the ABA?
Garnett, yeah.
Kevin Garnett.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yep, yep, yep.
So they missed on Garnett. Let's go to the next time the Sixers had the third overall pick. It was 2014.
Ah.
Now, they got the second best player from this draft with Joel Embiid, but they missed on Nikola Jokic. Who has won three MVPs in a championship and is, as we sit here today, healthy. All right.
And plays every minute of every game.
So far, and again, all due respect to guys like Embiid and Stackhouse and Larry Christensen, guys who were really good, were great. But so far, collectively, they're 0-9 on picking the player that had the best career. Let's go to 2015. Jahlil Okafor with the third pick. So this one would be, size it up as you want, best player turned out to be either Porzingis at 4, but I would say Devin Booker at 13.
Now, wasn't Porzingis the one that they said that...
Hinky wanted.
That they wanted, but he refused
show up.
To come here.
And this is part of my Ace Bailey argument.
Yeah, that's my...
Exactly. Whatever, man.
Who cares?
Like, if you're better, you're better.
Exactly.
So, you know. Yeah, I would say Devin Booker, James, best from that grouping. All right. So now we're 0-10 on picking the right player. Let's go to 2017. Now, this one's complicated because they had the third pick. They moved up to the first pick. But I'm counting this as counting because they had the third pick. So they traded the third pick and a first rounder to get the first pick to draft Markelle Fultz so Tatum can go 3. So I'm calling that 0-11. By the way, Donovan Mitchell went after that as well. So now we're 0-11. And, that is 0-12.
That's it, right?
That's 0-12.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
that's 0-12. So the bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, to conclude this brutal exercise, in the 12 times in the history of Philadelphia sports holding the third overall pick, again, with respect to Embiid, Larry Christensen, Sizemore, some really good players, but they have never actually picked the player that turned out to have the best
career. Quick question.
Yes,
did you actually look and see if the third pick has ever been the best player in any draft?
Michael Jordan.
Oh, yeah, of course. Jordan.
Yeah.
But I wonder how often it happens. It's probably pretty rare, would be my guess.
Less than 20%.
Well, I think
Jordan,
I think like less than 1%.
Yeah. Probably less than the NBA,
all the
though.
Drafts.
NBA, I would say
I
you
agree.
Have the best shot to hit
agree.
It, you know? So anyway, it's a tough trip down memory lane, and that's what you got inside the bathtub time machine as we get ready for the Sixers tonight on the clock with pick 3. That is, of course, if they make it, they could trade it, which is a distinct possibility.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.